You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
You're a pioneer. Say, I'm a pioneer.
I'm a pioneer.
For this year.
This year,
2020. Jesus, bless them with that declaration, Lord. Make it true. You're the only one that can make it true in their life. Jesus, that they are a pioneer to their friends, their family, Father, to the nations, to the streets, to their enemies. Jesus, make them that pioneer of love, pioneer of powerful message from their lives, Father, as they are in an ongoing conversation with you. As they're making supernatural decisions by the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, rise up in each person here. God, that they would become the ambassador that you always dreamed for them to be. Jesus, you can make it happen. We know you will in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
What a day. But every time I hear this song about Pioneer, how many of us think of Rick Pino singing Pioneer? Some of us have heard that the first time, but we, when that's sung over us, there's a call, there's a pull, there's a tug, because the Lord wants us to do and start and step into the newness that he has for us. Sometimes we think we have to start a ministry to be a pioneer. It's not like that. A pioneer is a person who will step out and go forward, go into the unknown without having the security of the known. In other words, not having all the props around them to be able to fall back and say, yeah, now I'm comfortable. So it's a sense of moving forward and taking the Lord's word when he says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Great is thy faithfulness. So it's a step of declaration that may involve new territories, greater tent pegs being expanded, moving out into different places, challenging our mind, where our mind says, well, this is what it seems like, so this is the way it is. If we do that, any of us do that, we have immediately limited God. Immediately. We put our own spin on what it is, what it looks like, and then we put our barriers and our boundaries up to feel safe, because that's what makes sense to my mind. So I believe in this year, 2020, as we're stepping out into new territories, I believe the Lord is saying, I so want you to know my voice. I so want you to hear my heart. And I so want you to track with the one who lives inside of you, that you will do and be, make decisions and refrain from certain things, move forward in certain things based on his leading, truly based on his leading. It's really good to be able to recognize when something's not of the Lord and go, oh, sorry, I didn't realize that. Yeah, oh, I shouldn't have done that. That's nice. Glory, hallelujah for that. But when we step out and we recognize that things that would continue to keep happening like that, that the Lord would say, son, daughter, there's a place that I want to get to where you really hear me so you can walk in the peace and the contentment that I have for you. It's just on my heart. I know of someone, not in my immediate family and not here, but I know of someone who has wanted to walk closely with the Lord and stepped out into crazy miracles and doesn't see those kinds of things happen now. because they have convinced themselves, this is what I do. In other words, think of a bowling alley, and think of the bowling alley has the pins right down at the end of the lane, and you take your ball, boom, okay? And hopefully all the pins will go down, right? And that seems very structured, very strategic. I can analyze how my moves will be and where that I'm limited. I have a narrow road. Well, we can talk about the narrow road, trying to do that with Jesus so that we have our eyes on the prize. That's true. But there's another way to look at it. And that is, this is what I see. It's set up the way I see it. And this is what I do. And if I do this, then something's going to happen to those pins. But what if the Lord comes and speaks and says, have you ever thought that there's another way for this to happen? And it's not going to be just in the format, through the format and the structure that you think works. I've had people actually come and tell me, I don't do this because God's called me to do that. Can you raise your hand? If that's ever happened to you, it's probably everybody in here, right? I don't do this because God's called me to do that. If you have said that and stayed in a certain place like that, I am speaking to you right now, encouraging you to say to the Lord, Lord, forgive me and break that over me. I break it over myself because you will not be able to fulfill the call of a pioneer with that mindset. I guarantee you. And you know why? Because the enemy does not want us to see that the Lord is way bigger than what we think we can do, what we think we can accomplish. The Lord's so much bigger than that. What good does it do if I say to you, boy, if you would have told me when I was 25 or 30 that I would be doing this now, right now, you know, I'd say, oh, you're crazy. I could never do that. I wouldn't even think that way. Or even younger than that. And you can listen to me and go, oh, that's true. That's true. It's true. But the reality is, if I wasn't challenged back at that time by somebody, I don't know if I would be doing the things that I'm doing. Okay? And going the places I'm going and seeing the places I'm seeing. So what I'm offering to you today is an opportunity, hey sweetie, opportunity to say to the Lord, Lord, I really want it all, and I don't want it to look like my way. I really don't. I want it to look like your way, 100%. That is one of the most dangerous prayers you can pray. I guarantee that also. There's two guarantees so far. Because when we do that, then we step away from our protection like this. In our place of safety, we step back from it. But what we're doing is we're falling into the arms of the one who's holding us. And then he energizes us. And then we go. And he's our rear guard. But we have to do this. We have to do that. If not, we'll be stuck in good things. Stuck. It's like, wow. I was reading in 2 Timothy, which I am going to preach on in a little bit. This is just a taste because kids are going to be going. What was on Paul's heart before he went in, he finished walked and fought the good fight and finished the race? What was on his heart? What would be on your heart if Jesus came for you now, whatever that would be, and you had some time right before that? What would be on your heart knowing that this was it, this is the end of the road, I'm finished? What would it be like? What would be on our heart for ourselves and our loved ones? What would be on our heart? And I believe that's a challenge for us in 2020. So when we sing a song like Pioneer, think about that. Lord, I really want to say yes. Not yes when I get past this moment, or this moment, or this moment, or this moment. But yes, right in the middle of the moment, right in the middle of it. Well, I can't because. I don't want to because. And you know what the Lord does is he shows us areas like that in our life through simple things where we will gravitate towards what's comfortable, what I can do, what I can know, what will help me. So if we want the true adventurous life as Paul lived, we've got to be really, really, really mindful of this and willing to break that off of ourselves, because things won't change unless we do. Because God doesn't just pick us up and go do it. Boom. He loves us and then says, go do it. It's really, really true. And there'll be different seasons in our life. But here we are in 2020, the year of the roar. What decisions are we making that are not led by the Spirit of God himself? What decisions? Let's ask the Lord that before we transition here. What decisions are we making that Holy Spirit inside is not saying, yes, that is the better way. That is the best way. Are we making decisions on what makes sense to our mind? What we think we can see in our bodies or our circumstances? Well, that makes sense. Where we're going as a ministry and as individuals in the ministry and families, the Lord wants us to hear him, know him, hear that still small voice, and recognize when it's not him leading us. He's the leader. He's the tutor. He's the teacher. And yes, he'll use other people because he speaks to people. He's relational. But he's saying, ultimately, whatever we do, the Lord gives us the freedom, you know, because we're not clones of people and we're all individuals. But he knows what's best for the littlest things. That littlest things. Why do we do what we do? To please him, to love him. And do you know what? Every one of us is a minister to him in everything we do. And then he's calling us to go. We minister to him and we go in the ministry. Do not fool yourself and think, well, I'm called to minister to him. That's my call. And I'm not going to let anything else come upon me because that'll make me nervous. That'll make me have to do something. That is a trap. It's not like that. It's kind of like the scripture in Corinthians that says, I will give gifts to whom I want to. Yes, yes. The Lord calls and anoints and appoints. But if we don't understand the gift giver, if we don't understand what that looks like, we will close ourselves off to stepping out and doing the wild and crazy work of an evangelist where we are. We won't, because I'm called to minister to God. So that's what I'll do. And I'll stay as comfortable as I can as I minister to God. That's not accurate theology. Don't fall into a trap like that. Minister to the Lord in everything that you're doing, in worship that's set up like this. As you're doing the dishes, you're ministering to God, and you're in that secret place. But let the Lord stir you up in your most holy faith, because some would be stuck without hearing that. And those are the reproofs, the teachings, and the corrections of righteousness that God says, listen, listen with a spiritual ear. Because the time is coming. It won't be like that as easily offered. Okay. And I thought, you know, Lord, when do you want the team for Brazil commissioned? Right after worship? This is your service. And I had a sense of weight in my heart. The kids are going to go to their class. And I believe he wants to unpack some things in the word for us that go along with this. And then we'll come back all together and then commission the team to go. Because I believe there's a new place in the spirit he's calling every single one of us. Everyone. He's not looking at your place in life and going, well, I'm not calling you. But if you define what you think that looks like, that could be limiting. Yeah, but I can't. No, look, keep going. Go like this. Step back like this without babies. Phew. And then fall right into his arms. You'll be amazed at what amazing exploits you can do when you think you can't. But it begins with a mindset of limiting. I am not called to be an apostle, a prophet, a teacher, an evangelist, a pastor. No. And we may joke about it, but do you know that that joking no actually slows down and hinders? What if we stepped in and said, Lord, I want it all. I want it all because Jesus, you said that's who you are. And I'm not worried about labels, but I'm going to do whatever it is. And you know the giftings and the callings, but I'm not going to limit that. I am not going to limit that. And Lord, maybe I have. I have wept before the Lord on my face before because he whispered, sweetie, don't ever limit me. Don't limit me with your ideas. Don't limit me with your thoughts. Watch what I do. That's the heart I want our Brazil team to take. Boom, out. That's the heart I want to have when I go. That's the heart I want for here. Don't limit me, kids. I mean, that's our dad. That's our big dad. And we need to honestly ask God that. And do you know, when we honestly ask him, do you know what will happen? Any bit of condemnation that we struggle with because we're thinking about ourselves, that will start to come up, but will be released. As we step back like this, all condemnation can't even touch us. We step back into the place of leaning. Because when we're up here like this, and our fiery papa is back here saying, lean into me, we're trying to do it ourselves by sounding super spiritual. I'm ministering to God, but I'm not doing this. It's amazing. It's amazing what our minds will believe. And we'll look for places to agree with people anywhere, in a conversation, with friends, with family, on Facebook, because it's comfortable. The Lord's calling us out of our comfort. Come out of your comfort zone so that you have to depend on me. There are people needing that kind of craziness. I wish I had someone when I was, you know, 20s, 30s, telling me that, speaking to me like that. I didn't. But the Holy Spirit did. And then I would weep before him. So I'm hearing from him, I believe, to say that to us, to shake us in a good way. It's not about, well, she thinks I'm not doing enough. It's not about that. It's about hearing him, hearing what he's saying, and then doing what he says, period. And that comes for all of our decisions because he's involved in every part of our life. and he's going to challenge it. And the ones who go to people saying, let me tell you about Jesus, don't open your mouth until you depend on him. Depend on him for your answer. Then open your mouth. Let me tell you about Jesus. Or let me tell you how he has shown me where if we don't depend on him, we're not receiving him and his best. What that looks like practically. I'm going to go in the Word today and we're going to look at some things. But first I want to pray and then we'll pray again. Because for some reason this is on my heart very strongly. Some of these little children, maybe all of you in here, if these little kids were fully unleashed, let me say the word, let me say it again, fully unleashed, I believe that we would be seeing and will be seeing things that are just going to be, I just can't believe this. And there are going to be testimonies up here this year, fully unleashed. And that means moms and dads and grandparents and friends have to let go so these little ones can be fully unleashed in the Spirit because the Holy Spirit's upon them. Yeah, let's pray. Let's pray about this. I'm excited. Are you excited what he's going to do? He says, I want to fully unleash everybody. It's going to take the power of the Spirit of God. It's going to take his fire, his Spirit, Holy Spirit. But it's going to take our willingness to be unleashed so we can unleash others. Okay? Father, my Lord, what a privilege and an honor to speak your name and to preach you, Christ crucified, Christ buried, Christ resurrected. What an honor, what a privilege, God. Oh God, thank you for the reminder, thank you for the correction, thank you for the teaching. Thank you for the reproving. Thank you for the training in righteousness, God, to unleash us fully, God. And today, Father, when we declare, it will be with our hearts being rent before you to say, whatever you say, whatever you say, whatever you say. Oh, if that's you, that's probably all of us. Say to him with your heart behind it, whatever you say, I will do. Whatever you say, I will believe. Whatever you say, I receive. I will do anything for you. I will go anywhere for you. Unlock my heart, Jesus. Unlock my mind. Unlock my will. Unlock my will so I can step back and fall in your arms. I see gates right now. They've been invisible, but the Lord is showing us that these gates are now opening for those who dare to believe. God, forgive us. Forgive me, Lord, for putting labels on myself. Forgive me, Lord, for saying, this is not my calling. Oh! Oh! Break it off of me, God. Break it off of me. Jesus, Jesus. 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 Jesus, remove the shackles right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. This will be a new year. Jesus, Jesus. Father, as we're moving forward in the process that each one of us is in, just hear the Lord is wanting to really remove vows that have been made inside. Where I don't, I can't, I won't. Any place where your heart has been shaking, no. Any place where your will has been shaking, no. Any place where your mind has been shaking, no. Ho-ho! Tell the Lord, I break it in your name. Tell him, I break it in your name with your power. Unleash me, God. Unleash me, God. Unleash me, God. Ho! Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is part of the year of the roar. This is part of the year of the roar. This is part of extending your borders, removing the boundaries. Ho! Ho! Now, Lord, as you're doing the work in all of us as adults, God, do it in your kids, the little ones. Release them. Release them from the constraints of parents and influencers. Release them, God, to hear you and to act on what they hear and act on what they do. Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. There's going to be a wave of salvations and deliverances that are going to be sweeping here. And as Pastor Bill said, we're decreeing and declaring that those in our sphere of family influence and close influences as well are going to be touched, because we are going to be proactive. We are not just staying in our prayer closets. We are not just worshiping quietly at home. We are stepping out. We are becoming more proactive. We are fighting the good fight. We are raising up a mighty standard against the one who would hold those dear and near to us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the intensity increasing, God, the awareness of where our place is and what we do and what the spilling over will be from that. Thank you, Jesus. If you've ever had difficulty in these years really receiving correction, tell the Lord, because he will use people. He will use people to show that you have a problem with correction. It's not enough to say, well, if he corrects me, Holy Spirit, he will. Receive from people. Receive training, rebuke, correction, and righteousness, and reproving. Receive it. Tell the Lord, I will receive it. Because the barrier needs to come down so we can receive and be released. Receive and be released. Oh, ra-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Tell him. Don't argue with him. Don't say I'll pray about it later and get back to you. I'm telling you, the Lord will free you. It's a time of deliverance right now. It's what he's telling me. Oh, Jehovah Mapalti will set you free. Tell him, I will receive, God. I want to hear, God. Any way you tell me. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Lord, come. Come. Free our wills, God, to be conformed to the likeness of your Son, Jesus. Yes, God. Let it be. Let it be. Open up the gates that the King of Glory can come in right there at that place. Thank you, Lord. Show us, God. Show us, God. Show us, Lord, where we will be hungering after that. I hunger after that, God. Teach me, train me, correct me, reprove me, God. Right now, tell him through others. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God, yes, God. There are angels everywhere in this room, and I just see drops of blood in the spirit, and I see beacons of fire that are coming to those who will humble themselves and receive this word of grace. It's a graceful word of joy. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed.
Yes, God.
Renew.
All condemnation leave these people, God. So we receive fully what you have, God. We can see. We can see with your eyes. Thank you, God. All of us, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for course correction. Thank you for course correction. Oh, the wind of the Spirit will blow the sails with a course correction, with his order, with his ways.
Oh,
forgive us, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. From my own thoughts, my own ways. Set me free, God. Yes, God. Yes, Lord.
Oh.
Thank you, Jehovah Mapalti. Jesus, Jesus, rise up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As we receive from your hand today, Lord, just thank you for the privilege of being able to even speak your name in public without reprisal, God. What an honor, what a privilege to preach. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Second Timothy 4, 1 through 5 in the Amplified, or Rich. Thank you, Jesus. transition here in a minute where children are able to go to the classes before you go. And I want the teachers, parents, to see this passage in the Amplified, and then we'll continue in the Word. Because I really believe God did something amazing for us here. But there's more. So those of you who will be in here will finish whatever time we have. And those of you who will be serving with the kiddos, please listen to the rest of this, because this has been the message. Okay, look at this. Is Amplified. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 5, Amplified. It's for everybody. Everybody. This is Paul. He says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. And children, those of you who can read, and those of you who are listening, see what you can get from this yourself, okay? So you can step out and be who you were created to be, even more, okay? I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by, in the light of his coming and his kingdom. In other words, Paul's charging us. He's saying, listen, I'm leaving. This is it. This is what you do. This is everybody. Herald and preach the word. Herald, that means shout it, preach the word. Whether you hold a microphone or not, let your life be preaching the word. Herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Those of you standing for loved ones, read this and say yes, yes, yes. Stand by. Be at hand and ready. Keep that sense of urgency. Whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. I'm glad I didn't write this. You, as preacher of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong. This is crazy. Look at it. This is the Bible. And convince them, rebuking and correcting and warning and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. What? Back that one up again. Whether it's convenient or inconvenient. Well, let's back it up. Herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by. Be at hand and ready. Whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable. Whether it's convenient or inconvenient. Whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preacher of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience in teaching. Next. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate, they will not endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another, to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and foster the errors they hold. Maybe even on Facebook. Maybe that'll be the teacher. Think about this. Think of it here, think of it abroad, and will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fictions. As for you, be calm and cool and steady. Accept and suffer unflinchingly every hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. That's for every person. Fully perform all the duties of your ministry. Come on. So if you've ever thought I'm not going to be doing the work of an evangelist, well, you've had good prayer here this morning to change the thinking, right? Way beyond. Way beyond. So now you have the sound in the God of heaven backing that up. And no limitations. No more limitations. No more limitations. And release. Be released. And release the children. Listen. Don't just have them write their thoughts in a book. Let them go demonstrate it. They've got power. Release them. Release them. Release them. Give them opportunities to walk out what they're feeling, seeing, and thinking, what they're receiving from the Spirit of God. Give them opportunities. Provide them opportunities. Do it. God will back you up. He will back you up with this word. Amen. Is this a good word? Are you encouraged? One person? Okay, amen. Let's finish on with some more in that realm, and the kids can go to the classes. And we'll finish a little bit of preaching here, and then we'll have prayer. Amen? Listen to the rest of it too, guys. Okay, help, Lord. What are you doing? Oh. Okay. Some of them are coming back, I think. I'm glad we record these things. We were recording this, Andrew. That's good. Let's open our Bibles, you guys, to 2 Timothy. Jesus. It's a really short book. That's really good. Today. Oh, my word. Okay. In the first chapter of 2 Timothy, oh Lord, Lord, thank you for this impartation. You are such a surprising God. Lord, thank you for the great joy in this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the freedom in our hearts. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We want to hear from you, Lord. We want to hear what you have to say, and we want to obey what you have to say because we love you. You're so amazing. Oh, Jesus, thank you for this encouraging time. Thank you for unleashing us. Thank you for unlocking us. Thank you, Lord. Okay, there's these little world changers here. Hey, guys, have fun up there. Woohoo! Does everybody have their Bible open? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Yes? Okay. Verse 6. Well, you know what? The first five verses are talking about Paul's love for Timothy and then kind of mentioning what his lineage is and talks about as the inheritance, really, that Timothy gets to step into. And that he serves God in verse 3 with a clear conscience, the way his forefathers did. And he constantly remembers Timothy and others in his prayers, night and day, longing to see him. There's the great love of this spiritual connection between spiritual father, spiritual son. Any real connection is always, a spiritual connection is always going to have a connection of love, because Jesus is love. So it's easy to say, sure, yeah, I'd love to have a spiritual parent. I'd love to be one. I'd love to be in a spiritual family. All these spiritual family talk stuff. It can be confusing if we just lean into what happens and God puts us in places and situations that have heart connections and destiny connections, then lean in and just say yes and let God do it. Don't make it so hard. Amen. Verse 5 says, I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it's with you or in you as well. 6, for this reason I remind you, he's talking to Timothy, I'm going to remind you, guy, I'm going to remind you, kindle afresh the gift of God. What is that gift? Which is in you through the laying on of hands. So he received the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. And now we live under a new covenant. And there are many ways to receive Holy Spirit. And that is one very important way to receive the fullness of the Spirit, the baptism in the Spirit. But it's not the only way. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity. The very famous verse we all know, right, and we can quote, or most of us can, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and discipline. In the Amplified, let me just read it to you. It says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love, and of sound judgment and personal discipline, which mean abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. Let me say that again. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment. In personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. Thank you, Jesus. That's where we want to see our kids go, right? And we have to know how to get them towards that goal, towards the goal of knowing Jesus who can provide that for us. And we can't be afraid of using every means that God would give us to be able to remove the influence of the either the devil directly or the carnal nature, the sinful nature that every person is born with. We have to know how to fight. So when we're trying to fight for our kids, we need to know, well, this works. Well, maybe it does seem to work, but what we want to do is affect change so a child can be led to the intimacy with Jesus as early as possible. That's what we want to do. So we have to be willing to employ all avenues the Holy Spirit gives us, because many times when we're dealing with some situations, the enemy has already entered in. I'm not talking about the regular old sinful nature. I'm talking about things that continue on, that seem to continue cyclically. And there's patterns and such. And many times the enemy will just, boom, hit a child. And if we don't know how to fight in the spirit and naturally, which is still in the spirit, then we allow the tormentor to hurt our kids. We just don't, we're thinking we're doing a good thing. So God wants us to employ all avenues of opportunities to bring real freedom to the kids, best we know how. So anyway, Paul is lauding Timothy in that area. So then he says, therefore, now you know what we think about therefore in this church, in this ministry. Whenever we see the word therefore, it means, okay, because of what I just told you, now here's the good stuff on top of that. He says, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. You know, he didn't put that in the last chapter. He puts it in the first chapter because he knows his time is short and he knows what's coming and he knows that he was chosen by God to release the fullness of the gospel to the Gentiles. He knows. And he's been doing it and he's wanted to continue his work. Excuse me. But he says, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And as I was rereading through this passage in Scripture, this chapter, the word ashamed is in there more than once. Don't be ashamed. You know, the Scripture in Romans, it says, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ as the power of God unto salvation in Romans chapter 1. And the Lord reminds us that when we are preaching, teaching, preaching the word in season, moving out in things of the Spirit, that there will be a sense of being ashamed that will hinder us. And it's like, well, yeah, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's a dumb word. Why'd you use that? What does that mean? It's any hindrance that will keep us from wholeheartedly, boom, releasing the fullness of the gospel of the kingdom. If we don't understand let me say it a different way. As we have greater understanding, greater revelation of what Jesus has done and who he is, we're going to be more trumpeter. We are going to be trumpeting and proclaiming more often. We will, because it just happens. It's the way we're designed. Because if that revelation is in us, it's designed to come out. It doesn't just go in and stay in. It's inside, stays in there. Yeah, I got a revelation of the cross. It's meant to come up and out. And Paul knew that. And Paul preached that way. And that's why he was able to exhort and train and reprove and correct. So today, after we had the impartation and the prayer, there should be in each one of us a greater willingness to say, help me, show me, that we'll step out. We will do it because the Lord has released us. Not because, well, I guess that's what I want. That's what GMP said. But but something took place this morning. So now we have to do something. There needs to be a response to that. A yes inside and now walk. Because that very yes inside. Angela, could you get me a little water back there, please, sweetie? Thank you so much. That yes that we were talking about, remember, moves us back like this, away from doing it our way, and then leaning into the arms of the Lord, and he sustains us, and he holds us up, and we feel like, I can do this now, because I can feel you, I know you're there, let's do this, and then we can do this. Some of us have these amazing forward-moving destinies that are just kind of trucking along as turtle soup, because of that. And that's why we had some of this morning. I really believe it. That God's saying, I'm going to unleash right now. And he did that earlier. We're going to have a little bit of prayer after that. Thank you, sweetie. Appreciate that. So when he tells us in verse 7 that he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, remember what he said. You can always go back to this in Romans 8:15, when he says, don't forget, don't go back to that spirit of fear that was released at the cross, crucified at the cross, the spirit of fear. You don't have that anymore. Don't go back to the spirit of fear again. Okay? Rise up in your sonship. Rise up in your daughtership, which is sonship. Rise up in that. Rise up in who you are because of what he's done. Because of what he's done. Paul's telling Timothy the same thing. He's just not quoting Romans 8:15. It's the same thing. He's saying, come on. Come on, don't go. Don't let fear stop you. Don't let timidity stop you. Don't let shame stop you. It's like, I don't feel shame. Shame will be the evidence of whatever is active in our lives that prevents us from doing this. Falling back into his arms, as we said, and then moving forward and propelling forward like this. There might be some areas that we feel confident in, you know, I can do that. I can, you know, use the bowling example. You know, I'm really good at this. You know, I practice and, you know, I can bowl and there's strikes all the time or whatever it would be. But in other areas, it's like, nah. The revelation of Jesus and the cross will affect every area of our life. Okay? But what happens with church people, Christians, is what we typically do is limit God, going, well, I can only do so much, and that's for them, and this is who I am, because I'm comfortable. And the Lord's saying, there's a hurt and dying world out there, honey. Okay? Every time I get a WhatsApp from Pastor Benjamin about the persecuted church and what's going on, there's a rise in persecution in India in this season. We're talking persecution. We're talking people who they get up in the morning and they want to take care of their kids and they're looking to see who's going to come and try to stop them from life, from living, to take their life because they've professed Jesus. There's no joke. And it's everywhere. It's in so many places around the world. But the Lord has blessed you to be in a place where we talk about that and we do something, whatever we can do, be it India or some other place. So it's that call to the nations that comes from the revelation of the cross inside, okay? And the Lord is saying to Timothy, because he's going to check out soon, he's saying, pay attention. You will really go far, Tim, if you are not ashamed and you are not fearful in any way. You've got to see what that is. And so we hear a good word, you know, in church or something, and then we go back to regular life. And regular life, it's like, wait a minute here, I lose sight of this focus, of this word. Like, phew, it's strong, it's powerful. The Lord is stirring us up. You know, when Pastor Bill was giving that exhortation earlier, towards the end of worship, and he was saying, I'm decreeing that the people we've been standing for, that you want to see saved, healed, delivered, released emotional pain, blah, 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 all of that. And we go, yes, to get to that yes is good. And now it's, use me, God, show me, God. But it's got to be his way. Can't be my way, where we're just figuring it out. And I refuse, remember, I refuse teaching. I refuse correction. I refuse training. I don't want to do that. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to hide and I'm do it myself. Those kinds of things the Lord will set up and show us that you're not as dependent on the Lord as you think. Because if you were, any way that I choose would not be threatening to you. It's like, pull. Got it. But why does he tell us that? Just to unlock us so that we can be free. So those gates I told you I saw, that they're just flung wide open. And then the enemy's going, no. Oh, there was a surrender of the will. Oof. There's a surrender of the thinking and the ways and the mindsets and the cases that we build. And all of these things we talked about. There's a surrender. Yeah. God wants us to do that and wants us to say and position ourselves to say, hey, you know what? Show me what you see. You have Holy Spirit. I do too. But sometimes I could be stuck. Show me. Show me. Well, that's what Paul was telling Timothy here, among other things. But he says, also in verse 8, he says, join me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Because anything that we're doing that's going to cause us or could cause us pain because we're Christians, he knows what that's like, and he says, you're going to suffer, but it's going to be according to the power of God. In other words, I am not going and looking for how much suffering can I have to prove that I'm a good Christian. But when the Lord is in this, it's like, okay, that's part of it. It's part of the cost. And Jesus made that very clear through his own life, but he made it clear through Paul's life. And Paul is, again, modeling what it's like to be able to help Timothy not just watch him and see it, but receive it and believe it and carry it exponentially after Paul's gone. And even with Paul. Okay? So he's with Paul, but he's another generation, a spiritual generation in that sense. And he says, the power of God in verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Let's read that again. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our words, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Okay, let's just camp there for a few days on that scripture. From all eternity, he's got a call and purpose and grace upon our lives. It's there. And he's saying, don't spend all of your time wrapped up in things of your world, of your culture. Some, yes, there's, you know, life here. We enjoy life. Let me lead this. It may look a whole lot different. Yeah. 10. But now he's revealed by the appearance of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Do you know that he's giving Timothy material here? Hey, Tim, you're going to be preaching. Keep preaching. Tell everybody about me. Do it any way that you can. Any means that you can. And when we're in 2020, that is so tough. Unless we have a specific vocation. Well, I'm going to be the, you know, pastor of a ministry or church or something or whatever. There's just places to be able to lead people. And this is one of them. But God's calling us to do that. Pastor Jose called me this week, and being the prophet he is, and apostle, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, amazing how that can be. If you'll hear my heart on that, it's what I said earlier. He started prophesying. Just, thus saith the Lord, using the words, thus saith the Lord, which you don't say unless it's thus saith the Lord. So it was very strong. It's very strong about this ministry, very strong about our lives, very strong about you guys, very strong about what's going to happen here, what's coming, and what the Lord showed him is coming. There can't be any, we can't have our boundaries set in place so that we function just so. You know, Jesus said, I want you to listen so you become. I was telling Audrey this last night. We were cleaning up and you were helping me. We were talking about flexibility, remember? And we were just talking about how important it is to be able to hear the Lord and then change. That is probably one of the most difficult things to do when it comes to living in America. But hear, really hear the Lord and then do exactly what he says at that moment, not 4 days later when we're processing maybe something to death. Do it. When the Holy Spirit is telling you, unless he tells you to wait specifically. So the point is hearing his voice and listening, really receiving his voice and listening. Others might have a few things to say too. Have you ever asked them? Think about that. Which is really intended to speed things up here and in other places. That's God's intent. So you get these prophecies. I'm running through the house, the phone's on, you know, speaker. Pastor Bill's downstairs, and fixing things in the basement. I'm just like standing there going, here, are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? I was like, phew. I didn't ask for that. Lord said, you know, I didn't say, give me a word. He gave me a word. It was really good, very powerful. So maybe this is, you know, the Lord told me you're preaching on 2 Timothy. That's all I knew. And I stood up and you saw what happened here after worship. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Verse 11, for which I was appointed a preacher, apostle, and teacher. Okay, so there's an appointment for him, for sure, with his extreme calling, obviously. But it also says, do the work of an evangelist. He's calling everyone to do the work of an evangelist. So he's preaching the word in season, out of season, you'll see it. He obviously is the Apostle Paul, and he's constantly teaching. Wherever he goes, he's always teaching. But so are we. We are teaching. We are modeling. Verse 12, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. Pick the words out, okay? I suffer for these things, and I'm not ashamed. Meaning, nothing is going to stop me from that fullness. Nothing at all. I am not ashamed, meaning there isn't anything that can come my way that's going to stop me from doing what I was created to do. Let me say it again. There's nothing that's going to come my way that's going to stop me from doing what I was created to do. And that is to get the word out in season. Okay? Sometimes we take many bunny trails to get there, and we do it because we like it. I like this, or I like this, or I like this, and I feel good about this, and it seems logical. But the Lord's saying, what are you doing for the spreading of the gospel of the kingdom my way, even with your gifts, talents, and abilities? What will that look like? That's what this book is about. It's not about running. It's not about hiding. It's not about anything other than straightforward, do what you're called to do, but don't define it. Let Holy Spirit define it, because maybe what you've stepped into is for a short season so you can be doing something helpful and then continue on with something else. Because honestly, from the word that Pastor Jose gave to us that we were in, I almost laughed. It's like, really? Well, things would have to really change around here. And that wasn't a slam. It's the truth. It's like, okay. So you want us to do boom, 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 and we're going to need boom, 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 boom for this ship to go boom, 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 boom this way. On that tape, they can't see my hands, so they're going to get boom, 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 anyone who listens. But that's God's way. He says it in his word. He sends a prophet, puts desires in dreams, but he's saying it's time. It's really, really time. It's a willingness. Anything. Anything. Anything, any call, any way, whether we want to or not. And it might feel like suffering, but the joy comes, even in the midst of it. Verse 12 again, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I've believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. I love that. Look at this. Look at the words. I also suffer these things for this reason, because of who God is and what he's done in me and how I know him. I'm not ashamed. I don't have to step back. I don't have to be tentative. I can be bold. I can be courageous. If I'm willing to do anything, if I'm willing to go anywhere, if I'm willing to stop with my boundaries and my parameters that I stop, because I read a book and it feels good. So this has got to be a year that we don't call something, well, the Holy Spirit told me to do it. Or better yet, that's what I want you to do. I want this. I want the words. I want, man, oh, man, they're going to be tested and tested and retested this year. I want. I want what you want. That will change everything. That's how Paul lived his life, because he understood what the Lord wanted, and then it came through. And then we don't get stuck in the I want something to look this way, and then I feel good about it. I want it to look that way. Get the leading of the Lord in everything, and then we'll be able to take our hands off and watch him do things. And you know what? That's how he honors our dreams and desires. He really does. Because we want what he wants first, and then it starts to come to pass. Now take these lofty-sounding words and apply them to our own lives. Everybody has a story, okay? Everybody has a song. So let's take these words and apply them right where you are. Think of where you are, what you're doing, what your focus is. If it's still limited within a short amount of time, the Lord's saying you're still limiting yourself. There are bigger things. There are bigger things than what you're involved with right now. There are bigger things than everything that you're facing right now. There are still bigger things. There's nothing bigger than this. You've just limited God. There is. There is. And that's where he says, will you continue to step into what we prayed about this morning? If you weren't here, get the message and listen to it from the beginning so you can receive in prayer as well. And anyone else who, who goes here and they're not here, have them listen to it. Tell them. You're exhorted to. For their sake, they can listen. It's not about the messenger. It's about the message and the timing of it. Okay? Verse 13. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Retain. So I was reading this again, and I was circling and looking at the word retain. It's like, okay, hold fast, hold on, retain. Okay, think of a retainer. You put a retainer on your mouth, right? To keep your teeth in place as they're shifting. Retain the movement. Whatever's moving, whatever is happening, retain it. Keep it so it doesn't go haywire and it produces the greatest fruit in season. Retain, retain. So when you leave here, it's not like, oh, let's go. Let's forget whatever she said. That was like long. Oh, no. Retain these words in your heart. So Paul is exhorting Timothy, retain what I'm telling you, and it's based on the cross. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Look at the next verse, 14. Another action verse, guard. So first retain and then guard. Guard through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, the treasure that's been entrusted. We have to retain and we have to guard. If you prayed with me before I started speaking here, official message, so to speak, retain and guard what God did, because I didn't touch you. He did. He showed me in the Spirit what he was doing and was telling me to do things, but he's saying to you, retain and guard. How do you do that? By purposing in our hearts to remind ourselves, this is what you did. This is what I'm hearing. This is what you're doing. This is where I'm going. This is who I trust. I'm not stopping. I'm going forward. Nothing is going to stop me from going forward. I'm going to lean back and depend on you so you propel me forward, because you're removing all these barriers from me. So I will retain this because you're going to add the fire. And guard. And whenever we're guarding, what are we doing? Okay, think of, I always use this example for, not always, but many times. When Gideon had his army carved down to 300, how many people, 300 after he had thousands, and he's in around a pool of water, and people are very thirsty. So what are they doing? They're getting down on their hands and their knees like this, okay? And they're lapping up the water like this. They're drinking of the living water, and their hands are going down to cup the water and bring it up. But they're still down low. Their head is low because the enemy wants to destroy them, and the enemy is active. So they're aware of the enemy's tactics, and they're looking to the right. They're looking to the left, and they're drinking. They're looking to the right. They're looking to the left, and they're drinking. You can't just drink and not look. It won't work. It doesn't happen. They go together. So if you're really drinking in the Lord, you are aware. You become more aware of the enemy and the way he wants to stop everything we've been talking about. And then you rely on the Lord and he tells you, this is where we're going. This is how we're going there. Stop doing it yourself. Don't do it yourself. Do it through me and invite the people into that process because I have my spirit living in them. And you said, reproof, training, correction, and righteousness, rebuke, reproof, correction. If that's a hard thing for you to be corrected by anybody, that's where the Lord is saying, that could be the very thing that holds you down because I want to do that. Well, I feel like, well, okay, well, then let's get rid of the condemnation because God would never have us go through training, correction, reproof, and rebuking, and training, lifting up in righteousness if we're supposed to be feeling, no, crying before the Lord because we didn't see and we're repenting because he's so good and he's filling us with love and hope. That's cool. That's his way. Never involves condemnation. If we feel it, he's saying, I'm trying to train you, rebuke, correct, and lift you up and reprove you so that you can get that out of you. That's the very thing that is resisting in you. That's holding you back. Not people, it's you, and it's in you. So when you feel like, I'm going to get that out of you so that you can receive as a good soldier in this war. And that's what he tells Timothy. He says, fight the good fight. Run the race, because you're in a battle. But if you fight it without all the weaponry, you do it your way, it will be longer, it will be harder, it will be more painful, more things will stay hidden. Is that really what you want? No. And I don't believe anybody in here is like that. Everybody wants the best, but let's do it his way. Well, it hurt before. Well, maybe it wasn't the best before. Let's deal with that. Let's do it his way, and it will be the best. And it might involve a little bit of pain, but Paul already addressed that. That's okay. That's really okay. So verse 15 says, you are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygius and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. Meaning he didn't judge me. He understood why I'm in chains. And he always was there to refresh me, to lift me up, to strengthen me, to encourage me. If we're just with our buddies and friends and we don't understand the fullness of this chapter, we will be part of their problem because we have not offered a solution to what God has shown us. If we see there's a problem and we've done nothing about it but just be a good buddy and friend, we're part of the problem because we have not helped the person realize that there's a chain around them. That's scary. And it's true. And so the Lord wants us to understand it. It's already in the scripture. We have to read this book and ingest this in the presence of God. And the Lord will then encourage us as to how to walk, how to do this when we're intimate before the Lord, as we're intimate. When we're worshiping the Lord, we're intimate, we're ministering to him. This, my dear ones, is the outpouring of it. Don't kid yourself. I'm just ministering to the Lord. I'm doing my thing. We are ministering to the Lord. We keep singing to him. We minister to the Lord. But God, he's really strong. He's created good works for us to do in advance. And he's saying, if you're not going to do them, they're just going to go, boom. But you live once. We live one time. That's it. This is it. Don't waste it. Yeah, but you don't understand my time. That's not even the point. I've been in many seasons in my life, and the Lord didn't allow me to waste the season, even in the midst of family and crisis and trials and all that. Don't waste that. But you know what? That's what the scripture said. And I wanted that. There's probably still areas that were, but over and doing foolish things, making mistakes, repenting, going, that was dumb, what happened there? But moving forward, receiving freedom from God, moving forward, keep going. That's Paul's charge. Jesus, so good. Verse 17, he was, obviously these guys were in Rome and eagerly searched for him and found him. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day, and you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. So God is, through Paul, lifting up those who had helped him. But then he goes into be strong. Look at chapter 2. Be strong in the grace, my son, that's in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. In other words, Timothy must take whatever he's received and learned from Paul and must be so filled with this to release this. He's not exempt going, well, Paul, this is how you did it. You know, you're going to be in prison, and I see how you did this, and I'm gonna do life over here, and I'm gonna do it my way. No, he is going to become like the Jesus in Paul, and he's gonna become even stronger and keep moving. And that's the idea of the spiritual inheritance. It really is. And the problem is that when we start out as I'm on fire for Jesus, I'll do anything, I'll go anywhere, I'll do foolish things that seem foolish. Someone said yesterday, when I was meeting with some folks at a gathering, and someone said, oh, it's so funny the crazy things you do when you're in your 20s. And I'm thinking, hey, there are a lot of us who are not in our 20s still doing crazy things. The point is that the Lord wants us to keep moving. The enemy slows us down. He slows us down, and he's smarter than we are. The enemy is smarter than you. But the wisdom of God through you kills him right out of the pool, right out of the park. Gone. Boom. But we have to understand that, you know, Satan is hot, very intellectually bright. He's smart. But Jesus is brilliant and is the king. So if you guys pride yourselves in being bright, good. Now release that intellectual wonderness and release it so that the Lord can fill you with humility to receive every way that he has. Because every person in here is very bright anyway. But the points, the Lord says, I don't want any intellectual strongholds where you think you got this, because you're just being slowed down. You're being slowed. The Lord's got you on, let's move. Let's move. Yeah, but I can't take a step. We can take steps. But sometimes we're afraid or we're ashamed or we've agreed with, I don't do this, I don't do that. That's just not what I do. Well, you won't, because you will have limited the Holy Spirit from empowering you and breathing on you to step in and do something you could not do before. That's the place of the unknown. That's the place of the, you know, the quote scary place. That's the place where God says, you can do this, come on. But let the baggage go. Remember the baggage video we did a long time ago with Andy and Lawrence? How many of you guys remember that one? Well, this is like classic. I love that. It's so good. Lawrence, you'll never escape it. It's hilarious. We should show it sometime. I mean, I think we'll do it. Maybe when we're in Brazil, because you'll be preaching. That's good. Perfect. Ask him to show the baggage video. It's so great. But there's more revelation since then, wouldn't you say?
I would hope so.
But it's a beginning. But the principles are the same. Amen? I'm just going to skip and read a few verses for you guys, and I'm asking you, which I've done many times, and so I am asking you again, to read this. If you're married and you have two in one house, or you live in a house with another person and they believe in the Lord and love the scriptures and they're here, encourage one another, okay? Or your friends, encourage to read this and study this. Read it. Read this whole book. It's only four chapters. It's very short. But think about it for your own life. I can't cover it all here. It's America, and it's 10 to 1. Okay, so we're going to go through a few things here. The Lord says to us, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and which I read, entrust these to faithful men who will be then able to give to others. That's really great. And the Lord just encourages him how to do these things. Verse 10, he says, for this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with its eternal glory. Okay, keep reading, but then it goes into being an unashamed workman. Be diligent, be diligent. Verse 14 and 15, remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent. Another action word. This is an action chapter. You want some action? Okay, instead of watching your action movie tonight, read this. Read this and study it and think about it and go, oh my gosh, look at all these action words. I love it. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed. Another word. Another ashamed. Ashamed, meaning that nothing's going to stop you. You're going to be bold and strong and courageous, and nothing is going to keep you from being released into who you really are. No more excuses. Oof. Accurately handing the word of truth. Verse 15 again. I'm going to read it again. Be diligent. Present yourself. Approved to God as a workman. Come on. I don't want to strive. I just want to stay in the glory. Please, you are a workman, hello, in the glory, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth, but avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. That's like, don't waste your time trying to talk yourself out of this. Here's the word of God. Listen to what the word says, and don't agree with anybody else, and don't go on Facebook finding a post that makes you feel good. I don't care who the author is. Not everybody's right. Because things can be worded in a way that might misrepresent a passionate, wild, crazy, diligently active person. But you're looking for something that makes you feel good. Don't do it. Don't do it. Agreement will slow you down so fast. So, so fast. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 17, the talk will spread like gangrene. Do you see that? Remember I was talking to you about gossip and the lethal gossip and such. There was a message of that a couple of months ago, and I had a handout to define what gossip really is. You know, there was somebody who called me that involved me in a gossip thing. It really annoyed me. Not because my name. It's like, whoa. It was like, this is the name of the Lord. And someone called me up, not from here, and told me a bunch of junk. And they said, well, you know, it's just in the grapevine. It's really not gossip. I said, well, actually, it is. It is gossip. So it needs to stop, and we need to remove that. So let's not do that, and let's take names out of it. Well, that's kind of a bold statement, but do you know what happened? Exactly what I said. Because there was movement, there was action. If we did that with people that we've heard speak because they've have their thinking or reason, and without challenging them, we are part of the problem, because the Lord is saying it spreads like gangrene. There's no problem here in Frontline like that, I'm aware. I'm just saying, I'm going with the scripture. So don't think, what's going on? But outside of Frontline, yes. Outside where people, and you have influence, for sure. So make sure you're not part of the gangrene. Do something about it. Okay. It says here, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying, verse 18, that the resurrection has already taken place and upset the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness or hurt. Anything that's wicked, okay, anything that is not matching up with the nature of Jesus. So we need to do something. And what happened today was verse 21, if anyone purges or cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. And then it goes on to talk about teaching. It says in verse 23, it says, refuse foolish and ignorant speculation, knowing they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all. Okay, now listen. I've seen so many Facebook posts about be kind, and then it stops. And that's fine, because it's Facebook, and it's the world. Yes, we're to be kind. But our definition of kind also involves verse 24. It says, be kind, able to teach patiently when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. I don't want to stand before Jesus someday. And my Jesus says, you didn't see it, sweetie, but you were part of the problem because you wouldn't speak. You liked your friends more than the truth. Okay, then chapter 3, I'm not going to spend a lot of time in. It's just as weighty, but I want to finish up here so you guys can read this tonight or tomorrow. Read it tonight, it's good, before bed. It doesn't take long. That would be awesome if you would. But the Lord is telling us about what's going to happen when difficult times come, and he's calling on us to be direct, to help people, to challenge them. Sometimes things are taking longer because we're not doing anything. It's really true. But we'll get that from the Holy Spirit if we ask him. Verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So it's time. Some people are sick because they have been struggling with so many of these things and it's played out in their bodies. Some have sicknesses that look like they'll never be healed. And we have words in season. We've got to help people get unlocked so they can live the full life that they've been granted from the Lord. Verse 4, or chapter 4, I already read and we went through. But you can read it again, okay? Because this is strong. And notice that it's at the end of the chapter, 1 through 5. And the verse 5 says, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfilling your ministry. Don't just look for, I see God here, 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 and here. Yes, that's good. But mature believers will say, Lord, I want to see, tell me, I'm prophetic. Maybe you're even going to move me into more of being a prophet. Maybe that's what's going to happen, God, but I want that because I understand what it means to hear you, to receive you. God, I want to understand. Show me what you're doing. Okay? Pastor Jose's little girl gives prophetic words that are ridiculous. It's like, how do you know that? Big, because the Lord is the Lord. And they want to see her grow. You know? She's hearing, she's seeing, and she's still a funny little kid. But they're fostering that. You know, many prayer meetings, many, many, many times in the presence of God when she was little, growing up, like you're doing. You're doing that here. Just keep doing it. Don't think they're going to melt. They might miss an hour of sleep. Don't do that. Not with the world changers you have. Release them. Help them. Okay? I was a parent. I know kids need rest. I'm not talking about that. Please. Please, don't let the devil lie to you. I'm not talking about that. But take steps. Reevaluate. What will help my child? Because there's more that we can do. And you guys are fantastic. I'm hearing amazing reports. I just want to fan the flame for you. That's it. Just fan it. Like, come on. Come on. So good. Lastly, verse 2 in chapter 4. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. It's just a repeat of what we've said. And then just to finish it up with 6, 7, and 8, excuse me. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come, for I have fought the good fight. That's what you want to say. I want to say that someday, because our day could be ending, our time here on earth could end tomorrow. Some of us may live to be 120. Yeah. That's always what I've said and desired and wanted. We'll see what God does. But the point is that I'm not in charge, but he is. But he will. He wants us to fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. It's a battle. He tells us fight the good fight. Don't be super religious. Well, Jesus is fighting my battles. Of course he is. You can't stand up against the devil. However, you can stand up against the devil. So fight the good fight. Figure out what that means. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. In the future, there's a laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to those who have loved his appearing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And the last will be 16 and 17, because he put my eyes there. At my first defense, no one supported me. All deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. What would happen if you said, Lord, for the rest of my years on this earth, I want to preach and proclaim the gospel, and I will do it with fire and passion, and I will not be so caught up in what my world feels like that I'm just, it's just so fun and there it is, but I'm losing sight of even the bigger picture. God, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to stand before you, Lord. I want to stand before you, and I want to say, Lord, I fought the good fight. I've done fully everything. In every decade I was in every season I was in, everything that you moved me to do and you allowed me to do, you propelled me to do, and you also honored the desires in my heart because they're yours. See? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the word of encouragement today. Another word as we start going through this wild and crazy year upon us, the year of the roar. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for course. Changes that you're making for all of us, God, that we will not be afraid, that we will not be timid, that we will not walk in the fear. Those of us who have heard maybe there's fear, or we've said there's fear, that this will be the time where we will allow you to expose it, to get rid of it. So we will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those to believe who believe. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you that you have unpacked even more of your mandate for us to do the work of an evangelist. Thank you. Yes, Lord, while we're a homemaker. Yes, while we're making money. Yes, while we're in the schools. Yes, whatever we're doing, God. Yes, that you're increasing that. Give us the vision for the world, for the nations, God. But show us what we need to do, Father, with people, real people, using our mouth, using our skills, using our love. Father, Father, thank you that we will not be limited by what we think are our love languages that make us comfortable and we feel good about it. God, other teachings, Lord, that can limit us in stepping out and doing what needs to be for other people, not just what we're comfortable doing. Thank you, God. Let it be. Release our wills, release our minds, release our emotions even more, that we will take these challenges today and take these charges today. We've been solemnly charged with the gospel to go forth and do the work of an evangelist and to invite you into all of the teaching and training and reproof and correction and lifting up in righteousness, God, that we will be part of the solution for those who are held captive. Thank you, Lord. Let it be today in Jesus' name. Let it be. Let it be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. As we go to Brazil, God, let these words ring in the hearts of people here. Thank you, Jesus. And us out there. Amen. We're going to have a brief time of praying for us who are leaving. I'm really excited about this wild and crazy trip. And I know what's going to happen here. It's going to take all hands on deck for sure. So I know you guys will, because you always do. So thank you. Thank you for supporting those who are here and being part of that. So amen. Can somebody go get children? We want to have them join us, and the team can come on up, and we're just going to pray over this trip. And then we have our annual meeting here, and food is prepared for that. A lot of things that are going to be discussed today, so please stay. And Ashley has something about prayer.
So we want to cover the Brazil team with prayer and days of fasting, agreeing with God's heart for what he wants to release. I have a calendar that I'm going to pass around. You can add your name to a day that you specifically want to go before the Lord for our Brazil team. And then behind that page, if you could put your name and your phone number or your name and your email, we'd like to include you in as being part of the prayer team so that you can receive updates as much as possible to know how to pray. Every day, not just on the day that you signed up on the calendar. So two things to look for as we pass this around.
Hey, guys, if you could, once we land or we're on our way back, if you could pray even more for a while, you know, a few weeks, that would be great. This last trip to Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire was a little rough when we landed, you know, with things that came, really hit the team, and it was noticeable. So if you could do that, and some of it really is, you know, we have to intercede. We have to pray for one another, and you're doing it, and thank you. So when we get back, don't think, oh, good, the team is here. Pray more, because it was, you know, the enemy's really mad with what goes on overseas, so really encourage that. You can drive that too, Ash. And then Denny has something.
So I have a raffle out there on the right side of the main room there. And so it, you know, has various things, but obviously it's to benefit my mission trip, really the kingdom of God. And then I also will have one that will be on Tuesday, so just so you guys know, but it's going to be a lot different. And the one out there will end basically 15 minutes, 30 minutes after church. So thank you, guys. Bless you.
Hello? Hi. Okay, Brazil team, come on up. We're just going to pray and pray for this wild group. It's going to be awesome. Awesome trip. Do I get one of these shirts? These are pretty cool. Wow. Oh, the kids are all ready to pray for us. This is good. Look at this. They're right here. You guys can be up here. Is everybody, is this our team? Troy, you want to say something about this trip?
I was just counting.
Counting people. Is everybody, Is everybody out from the back? They're coming. I don't know how many we're waiting for. Well, I know. The people. They are here. Okay. So Troy's going to tell us a little bit about this.
All right. So we are leaving. Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat are actually leaving on Tuesday. We'll be going to a new part of Brazil with some of our contacts with Iris Ministries there up in Fortaleza. But then, what's that? Iris Global. But the other 10 of us are leaving on Friday, and we're going to get in at about 6 o'clock in the morning Saturday to the airport and get out there and be ministering Saturday afternoon in the City of God at our worship center there alongside Iris Sao Paulo, which is right there with us. So we're excited about that. So we're going to be there for about 2.5 weeks almost and just ministering in the favelas. And they're in two different favelas and working alongside, again, Iris Sao Paulo and with our own worship center. Finishing the end of the trip, we're actually going to be participating in joining with the SEND, which is a international prayer and worship initiative. So we're going to spend 12 hours in a Brazilian stadium on that Saturday to just worship the Lord, minister, pray, intercede for the nations, for Brazil, and the nations beyond. So just a pretty amazing opportunity there. And that is that's the trip in a really summary. So thanks for praying for us. There's very intense trip in a lot of ways, the opportunity to join the pastors at different churches, sometimes in the evenings, and then we'll be doing everything from door-to-door ministry to having probably some larger outreach or two, and also working with the young people of all ages that are there that we've worked with in the past and the new people. So exciting time. So, yep, that's the summary.
So does everybody have any idea what we're doing? Why don't you tell them what you do in the fells? What do you do?
Okay. Well, door to door. No one's helping me here. Did anyone have any idea of what we're doing? Door to door. What else are we doing? What else are we talking about? Yeah, so we're going to spend a whole week. The first week we get there, we're going to actually spend 5 days of that week, Tuesday through Saturday, having outreaches with specifically the kids, like the younger ones up through like middle school, high school, if we can find them. We'll be in Heliopolis in one favela in the mornings for a couple hours where we stay based at the missions base there. And then we'll be going to the City of God for the afternoon for a couple hours as well. And just kind of intensive time, just getting into the word and worship, and then also trying to release healing into their desperate and difficult situations. So really trusting the Lord, be praying for the team just to go deep and seeing healing of hearts. Specifically because there's a lot of abuse, a lot of difficult situations there that we won't elaborate on. So we'll be doing that as well as I said, ministering in churches. We'll have times going door to door, potentially ministering some through the prophetic arts, possibly. A little bit of painting possibly in our worship center and just see what God does there. And and the send and, yeah, it's... decent summary of what we're doing.
So now the Lord gets to take that, you know, and just blow it up. So I really like that because that's a general schedule. And now you'll be able to follow whatever he leads. Maybe it'll be that, but maybe it'll be a lot more. I think this year there's going to be a great increase in the area of seeing freedom, children and adults come into personal freedom in the Lord. Beyond where we've been before. And so we've been talking about that, praying about that, and have some ideas of how that could possibly take place, where people are receiving deliverance and freedom inside. So Jesus is becoming, obviously, who he's designed to be. And we're finishing our second floor. Did you say anything about that? We have a worship center, Centro do Oração, and you know what that is. And then when we get there, not sure if the ceiling or the roof is on, but the second floor is built and being finished. So I'm sure you'll be up there. I'm not sure if it'll be rainworthy or anything yet. So we're finishing that. And that's been in motion here, so that's pretty exciting. So what I'm hearing from Brazil is that there is a real fire that's increasing, and so these guys are going in with even more fire to continue that inferno that the Lord's been blessing. So it's really going to be great. And then Pastor Bill and I are flying directly to a new place called Fortaleza. The Lord put that on our heart a few years ago, and we've met people there. So we'll be going there and ministering in with new contacts, new city, new favelas, new churches and whatnot. And then we'll head into Sao Paulo and join up with these guys. Okay. So Pastor Bill has something.
Well, I just thought we should do something special for this team. So I thought of a reverse fire tunnel. So the reverse fire tunnel works this way. You know how, those of you who know about fire tunnels, you go through the people and they all beat on you and bless you. Beat on you and bless you as you get the fire. Well, I think we should, you know, you should come and go along the line and bless them. You're the ones moving, in other words. Is that hard? You're the ones moving, and you can bless them, you know, with a nice loving touch of the Lord. If you have a word for a person, please don't hold up the line. You can go behind, maybe behind them, and speak that word in as people are blessing them. So you can go behind them and, you know, whisper into their ear if you have a word for a particular person. So we'll pray so that you receive something from the Lord to give to them. And don't feel bad if you don't have something to give, because you are blessing them with your hand and all that that means. So I will start the fire tunnel since it was my idea. No, I've been asking God, help us this morning, something special. Well, that would mess up my word idea, but I like it. We will do that, but not this time. Father, we thank you, Jesus. We pray that you would give out to the body, to give out to these missionaries. Lord, they're special in your sight, each person here, as well as the missionaries. So, Father, we want that connect from heaven through those not going into those who are going to bless them on their way. God, they need safety. They need so much, Father, anointing from you. They need Holy Spirit wisdom. They need to cooperate with their team leaders and their pastors while they're there. That's the enemy wants to mess that all up. So, Father, we just thank you that you're going to bless them with all that they need, as the body does it today in the reverse fire tunnel. God, we thank you for your ideas, your loving ways of working with us. God, I know this is going to be special. We may not even get to eat. It'll be so special, God. People will be so connected from heaven to earth. So, Father, we give you glory. We give you praise. People are lining up, Lord. Give them what they need to give out to these team members. And if you're here and you just don't feel comfortable with any of this, observe. But we challenge you to jump in as well.
And those of you who were in the back with the kiddos, listen to the message, please, that ties in with the beginning. It's very important. And Brazil team, bring this message to Brazil. So if you didn't hear it, you were back there. Listen to it and come prepared so you get to run with that, okay? Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org. Or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.